It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24-7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Second hour of Light the Tower on the Horn. Craig Way, Jeff Howe with you. It's Daniel alongside. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll visit with Dave Hunziker, play-by-play voice of the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Clean up from hour number one on the Specs text line. Somebody said, I appreciate how Craig emphasized that despite our home record against Oklahoma State the past 6 years, which, by the way, CB had pointed out, Cowboys won five of the last six in Austin against Texas. Said, I appreciate how Craig emphasized that despite that record, this is Sark's first round against them. Unlike when Jeff predicted us to lose against TCU based off the past few years, we lost him. I think it's a little different comparison there.
It's still the same players. So, and Texas won the game. I guess you leave out the part where I said, hey, everything I've read, seen, observed, researched, dug up says Texas is the better football team and should win, but
against TCU.
That's why they played on the field.
It is why they indeed play on the field. Our man CB, by the way, texting in saying that when Snoop brings that girl from California to Austin, he has to get her a Vienna sausage blizzard.
Well, CB's not letting that one die, Snoop.
Yeah. Snoop, who misunderstood when I said that my favorite DQ blizzard from Dairy Queen was berry and banana and Vienna fingers, the cookie. A berry, and it's like strawberries, bananas, and pieces of Vienna fingers, the cookies. And when I said berry and Vienna, and you said, like, Vienna sausage? We're like, no. Mm-hmm. No Vienna sausage in a blizzard. Mm-hmm. And I even brought a package of the Vienna fingers cookies into the station. So you just make sure we were clear.
You should have bought the Vienna sausage. I would have appreciated that.
You'd have hopped all of it. Well, that would have depended on how close you were to payday, right?
Indeed.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll eat some Vienna sausage for dinner.
Okay. All right. All right. So we begin the second hour of the program pleased to be joined by our good friend Dave Hunziker, is the play-by-play voice of the Oklahoma State Cowboys on the Cowboy Sports Network from Learfield, and he joins us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. David, how are you today?
I'm good, Craig. How are you guys?
We're great. I appreciate you taking the time to do this. And can I get an amen from you on this thing that I've asked virtually, I think, every play-by-play voice I've had on for all of the games this year, Jay Walker. And I know you know all these guys, by the way. Jay Walker at Louisiana, J.P. Heath at Rice, Chuck Barrett at Arkansas, Brian Jensen at Texas Tech, Brian Estridge from TCU, and then, of course, our good friend Toby Rowland at Oklahoma, that everybody's so thrilled to have games to go to, full stadiums to attend, and to be back in the broadcast booth and things. So I'm assuming I get the amen from you on that as well.
Yes, and it's been nice to even go to practice. You know, last year I'd go to Thursday practice in the stadium, and that was about it. It was, you know, we did everything remotely, and which was fine for the time. That's what we needed to do. But yeah, now it's kind of back in routine. It's nice. Because everything was, and of course, stadiums, that goes without saying. But even some of the little things, the day-to-day things, are nice, because last year it was not that way. So, yeah, it's been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you, if I remember correctly, now correct me if I'm wrong on this, Hunzi, you did travel with football, right? And there were, or
yeah.
Did you? And but it was basketball, obviously, where everything went remote for you.
Yeah, at basketball, everything was remote. Football, we traveled. You know, which was, we had no issues. And for us, it was, we caught a really huge break. We had the rotation where all the games were the drive games. You know, last year's rotation, conference-wise, was Kansas, Kansas State, Oklahoma, TCU, and Baylor. Well, for us, none of those are more than a five-hour drive, so you just hop in a car and go.
Sure.
And it's really easy. I mean, K-State, KU, I went down and back on both of them same day. We played like at 3 o'clock, and I just jumped in a car early in the morning, went up there, did the game, came home. So it was really nice that way. We were very fortunate that we had the schedule set up the way we did so that we could pull that off pretty easily.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Are you on the same rotation as Texas? Do you have the flight trips to both Ames and Morgantown this year?
We do. Yes, we certainly do.
Yeah, it's the same.
So that's a little different dynamic.
Yeah, same here as well. Dave Hunziker, play-by-play voice of the Oklahoma State Cowboys, joining Craig Way and Jeff Howe here on Light the Tower.
Dave, Steve Sarkisian said this earlier this week, and I agree with him. Watching this Oklahoma State team, you're complimentary of Mike Gundy, yet you're somehow astonished at how he's really flipped this program from one about a decade ago that wanted to score as many points as possible and just hope to turn you over a couple of times and get a couple extra possessions, to one now that they want to kind of run the football and limit possessions and win with defense and field position. It's been an interesting yet successful turnaround on how he's kind of flipped the philosophy there.
Well, I think when Iowa State went to their defense and everybody realized that throwing balls over people's heads was going to stop, and then everyone else started going that direction, he felt like, well, we better start playing tight ends, which we had done anyway, and you better figure out how to win games on defense, because the pinball machine numbers were going to go away. It just, you'll see them in some exceptions, like last week, your game, but you won't see a lot of that necessarily on a regular basis. We've seen a little more of it in the conference play last week or so, but I just think he moved four scholarships to defense. Felt like he had a really good coordinator with Jim Knowles, that if he gave him the adequate tools, they could be really, really good on defense in this league. And it's worked out. I mean, the Boise game, there wasn't a point scored in the second half. Oklahoma State just played keep away. I mean, it was huddle, slow. I mean, we went from playing the old school Loyola Marymount basketball to playing like Princeton. I mean, that's basically what we've done. We are not afraid to go snail, and it's worked. And yeah, they've been, you know, the, like you said, all of the units are complementary of one another. You know, the special teams have been really good. Pro Football Focus has Oklahoma State as the best special teams unit in the Big 12, and it's worked really well.
Dave, would you say, you brought up the Boise State game, and we were watching it at the end of a Texas game, and then got home to see the end of it and that sort of thing, and what you just described, a scoreless second half, and there were some big stands made, stops made, and field goal blocks and stuff like that. Would you say that was a big benchmark for this particular football team, given what Boise has done since and their win over BYU and the mere fact that they could go out to Boise, Idaho and get a win like that?
Well, and it was because they had no experience at receiver going to Boise. None. They were starting two guys that had never started before. The guy that made the game-clinching catch was a walk-on, a freshman walk-on. They had nobody because they were so beat up and depleted. Brennan Presley was it. The outside receiver spots were manned by, you know, guys with no experience whatsoever. And as a result, they felt like they had to run the football and shorten the game. In fact, Coach Gundy told Casey Dunn during that game week, he said, Casey, 55 offensive plays. And Casey's like, Coach, you can't do that. You can't go 55 plays. And Coach Gundy said, we'll try. I want this thing screwed down. And it worked. And, you know, they played keep away from Boise, and they hit just enough big plays in a run game to be effective. And it went exactly as they wanted it to go. And when you can pull that off and you're so depleted, you can still win a big game like that. Does a lot for your football team because they were in rough shape offensively, personnel-wise, going to Boise and fell behind and, you know, came back and won. That does your confidence a lot of good.
Dave, when you want to play this style that Oklahoma State's adopted, you can't turn the football over. How much of this style succeeding is going to continue to hinge on more of the good Spencer Sanders and less of the Spencer Sanders we've seen at times that might have a propensity to maybe fit a ball in where it shouldn't be or be kind of loosey-goosey with it when he's on the run, just him taking care of the football.
Yeah, he can be that way. I mean, you know, he can be a little loosey-goosey for sure. You know, the Baylor game, it's like you guys know what an M80 is, one of those big firecrackers?
Yeah.
It was like they decided they'd hold the M80 in their hand as long as they could. That they got rid of it, and it blew up. It just barely missed their finger. That's what happened against Baylor. They were -3 in turnovers and still won playing the style they play. which is amazing. It's only the third time since Coach Gundy's been the head coach that they've been negative three turnovers and won. And what happened was every time there was a sudden change, the defense knocked Baylor backwards. You know, two of those possessions after OSU turnovers near midfield, one deep in Cowboy territory, Baylor went, I think, negative five and negative 7 yards on those possessions.
Wow.
I mean, that's as good as it gets. I mean, the defense has been, when the offense has kind of screwed them over, pardon the terminology, the defense has just gone beyond good to exceptional. But you can't live in that world. You know, Spencer Sanders can't be a bit loosey-goosey. That can't stop. You know, I think here's the way I look at it, guys. The quarterback play has been, you know, average to above average. If you're going to continue this magic carpet ride, it has to jump up another level. You can't have average or just above average quarterback play to have an extraordinary year. At some point, it has to go to, you know, really good quarterback play. And Spencer's progressing that way. And the thing is, you know, usually from mid-October on, he's at his best. Well, it's mid-October, so we'll see.
I was going to ask you about Jaylen Warren, a real bowling ball of a back, and what he's been able to do. It's been pretty effective.
He has, you know, transferred in from Utah State. The interesting thing was he probably added in a short amount of time as much strength and speed as any offensive player Coach Gundy's had here. Really made leaps. In fact, he had a bunch of techs after he broke off a 75-yard run at Boise. He had friends in Salt Lake City where he grew up saying, "You're not that fast. Wait, that touchdown run, you don't run like that. That's really? Were those guys that slow on defense?" It's like, "Well, no, I'm faster than I used to be." It's really funny but true story. And he really fits what they do in the run game in that, you know, they're a zone blocking team. He is not a guy that will look at a few arms and elbows and stuff in the way and feel like he needs to dance around and hesitate. He'll just blow right through those arms and elbows and get where he needs to go. And, you know, he's been good. He also a pretty nice receiver out of the backfield. You know, Oklahoma State's longest pass play of the year was a screen pass of 52 yards to Warren against Kansas State. Boy, there's a sign we're in a pandemic. Oklahoma State's longest pass play, almost midway through a season, is a screen pass. Lord knows that tells us we're in the middle of a pandemic.
This is what we mean about unprecedented times, right?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the world's coming to an end. I mean, the next thing you're going to – if our longest play on the season is a screen pass, I swear to goodness there'll be animals lining up in pairs getting on a boat. So better watch out.
Dave Hunziker, play-by-play voice of the Oklahoma State Cowboys, joins us. To go back to the defense, you're talking about how well they played. Is it anchored by Malcolm Rodriguez? Is he the straw to the whole deal there?
He is. He's just solid as a rock. He's not that big, Craig. You know, he's 5'11"-ish, 225, 230-ish, but he's an old wrestler, so he understands leverage. The terrific tackler. He's top 10 in the country and active among active players and tackles. I mean, he's just rock solid. He's always where he's supposed to be. He's a tremendous leader. He's a four-year starter. You always know what you're going to get with him, and it's really good. And he is the guy, without a doubt.
Yeah, Dave, you hit on it a minute ago that I was actually going to talk about this next segment, but since you brought it up, we'll go ahead and hit it a little bit here. Is he kind of the embodiment of this philosophical shift Mike Gundy had probably, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, where he wanted to not just devote more scholarships to defense, but really stopped looking specifically for, you know, safeties or corners? He just wanted speed and athleticism, and now, you know, the heartbeat of your defense is a guy who was a high school quarterback.
Yeah, and who also was a safety before he moved down to linebacker. You know, particularly on the back end, that's a really good point. You know, Jim Knowles is kind of that Gary Patterson type way of thinking is, I'm just going to go find a bunch of corners. We'll figure out once they practice who can cover the best and who can fit the safety bill the best and, you know, let the best man win as far as who gets those corner positions. So I think that's what Gary has done. That's what it looks like from the outside that, you know, just I'm going to go get a bunch of guys that can cover. And, you know, and I think that spreads across, though, to some of the players you see at the linebacker position. And, you know, they have great depth on the defensive line. They're more athletic there than they've been. But it's, yes, there's been a big transformation. And, you know, Jim Knowles has been terrific. They'll be aggressive now. They're not afraid to blitz. They'll play press man on the outside with no safety help. They don't care. They're coming. And they just kind of say, hey, if you get us, you get us. And, you know, their coverage has been terrific. Even, you know, the analytics, Pro Football Focus, has their coverage the pass coverage the best in the Big 12, and a lot of times those guys are on islands, and they're used to it. Now, you're getting ready to face some teams that can exploit that, that have the athletes and players to exploit that. So now we'll see where they really stand.
Dave, yesterday in the news conference, or in his news conference this week, Mike Gundy said that that somebody asked him about getting into a track meet type of thing, and he shootout, and he said, "Yeah, I'd rather avoid that." And again, maybe this comes from the department of dogs and cats lying down together, whatever. But you know, in terms of wanting to play that game between the 20s and to limit possessions for Texas, is that kind of what we're talking about? What he would like to do with Jim Knowles in a perfect world this Saturday?
Yeah, they may go up tempo for a series or two, but they don't want to play fast with anybody. The defense is too good. They're good at rushing the football. They're really, really good in special teams. No, they're not interested in playing fast over the course of 60 minutes with anybody. I just don't think that's just not this team's personality. They don't want to do that. And they don't have the receiver depth to really do that. You know, in previous years, you'd run out a whole bunch of guys with a lot of experience at all three or four receiver positions. They don't have that. And I think to play fast, to do that over the course of a game, you really need that to just keep those guys running down the field and wearing down a defense. They just don't live in that world.
Are you saying they want to move even slower than you drive on I-35 coming down from Stillwater? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't drive that fast, so yeah, probably so. If my wife were driving, it'd be a different story. But me, I just kind of putz along, listen to smooth jazz, and act like an old man, which I am.
There you go. Yeah, but your wife works in an ER, so she knows about having to accelerate things, right?
And, oh, yeah, she's in an ICU, actually, so she really knows how to accelerate things.
Yeah.
The way things are going for her, she might get in the car and drive somewhere fast and never come back.
Yeah, and by the way, she was one of those frontline workers who just did yeoman's work during the pandemic last year. I take it everything's okay with her with it, because I remember you telling me things got really, really scary there in Payne County there with your ICU and the number of beds that were available for a time.
Yeah, they're holding up. You know, it's still pretty crowded. You know, the numbers seem to be going down, which is good. So they'll feel that effect. There's always a delayed effect with hospitalizations and so forth. But looks like some progress is being made. And yeah, it's been an interesting 18 months for sure for a lot of people in a lot of areas.
Yeah. Now, do you still have a daughter at Florida State?
I do. I do. Yeah, she's a senior. Yeah, she's a. How about this, Craig? She's not big into sports like my oldest. She went to one Florida State football game, and it was a Notre Dame game, which was epic.
Well, I started to say, now she's got Mike Norvell turned around. They got back-to-back wins, including beating Mac in North Carolina. That's pretty good.
I know. You know, although I was afraid she had the same jinx I had. When I went to the University of Missouri, Missouri was still rolling along in the early 80s and going to bowl games and so forth, and I show up, and they go 3-7-1. 1-10, 3-8, 5-6. Well, she had the same effect on Florida State, except now they might be doing a little bit better. It's just the Hunziker jinx. So if I have a grandchild, want to go to school in Austin, just absolutely do not let him in, because he'll screw your football team up. Just don't do it. They can go someplace else.
He's Dave Hunziker, our good friend and the play-by-play voice of the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Hunzi, thanks for the time. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday morning down here.
Oh, me too. Thanks for having me, Craig. You guys have a good rest of the week.
You too. All right, thanks. That's Dave Hunziker, Oklahoma State Cowboys play-by-play voice. He's got that grand sense of humor about him as well, and also just as fine a gentleman as you'll come across as well. Great dude. All right, coming up, we'll have a Longhorn Notebook for this hour where we continue to light the tower. Here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Our thanks again to Dave Hunziker, play-by-play voice of the Oklahoma State Cowboys, joining us to talk about the Saturday morning's matchup, Texas and Oklahoma State. I'm already getting questions, by the way, about the Baylor game, start time. Is it going to be 11 a.m. for that, too? Could be. Was it, you correct me if I'm wrong, is it two of the three games they've played at McLean? Because they played three times at McLean.
Yeah.
And two of the three were 11 a.m.? Was it the last one?
15, I know, was 11 a.m.
Yep. I was thinking 17 was, too, but the last one was not, because I remember.
17 was 11 a.m., yeah. Because I remember it was very cold that morning.
Right.
So, yeah.
The last one, I think, was an afternoon one because I remember the sun going down, it seemed like. And
that's, I don't look, Craig. It felt like a 2:30 in my mind, but that might have been an 11 a.m.
Okay. It could have been.
Throw that in the Google machine.
Yeah, you're right about the 15 and the 17. I knew those were 11 a.m.s. 11 a.m. and 15 featuring
Art Briles' last home game.
Yeah, and he had Lynx Hawthorne playing quarterback.
Deshaun Elliott shadow boxing on the sideline.
It's over there, yeah.
It was 2019 was a 2:30.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. So, and then in 17, it was just when Baylor was in the rebuild,
year one of Matt Rhule.
Yeah, and Texas dominated that one, and then Baylor turned around and dominated the game 2 years ago there.
Yeah. It's one of those deals why I know we have to, in the media, we have to look at stats like this, like when the Arkansas game went the way it did. Well, Tom Herman never lost a game by this big a margin. Had it not been for a Daniel Young garbage time touchdown, that Baylor game would have been a 21-point loss.
Yeah.
And it was 24-10. It felt like it was about 40-0.
Yeah.
Like the way Baylor just dominated the line of scrimmage that day.
It's a good point, see. And that's why I always talk about, I enjoy watching, even though I've never been a sports wagerer, and Snoop was but isn't anymore, right? Even as you draw close to payday, you're not tempted, right? Correct?
Oh, I'm sure he's tempted.
And it's tempted. Yeah, tempted.
I fell off the wagon a little. A little.
Is this breaking news here?
Yeah. Well,
are you back into the sports wagering thing?
What pulled you back in, Snoop?
The MyBookie.com commercials.
How's it gone so far?
Not outstanding, but I haven't put a lot on it.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know. All right. Anyway, I enjoy it.
Okay. Okay.
It's
kind of an update.
Snoop strikes me as an impulse buyer. You strike me as an impulse buyer,
yeah.
Snoop. Like, you don't want, like, the 2-for-1 candies at the checkout line at HEB, but it's so enticing to you.
You're going
to
grab them. Yeah. Yeah, you're going to do
it. I don't even want a payday bar, but it looked like such a good deal.
Yeah, yeah. Give me the payday and the 100 grand bar,
I put horn in the promo codes.
So
there you go. Anyway, what I was starting to say is that I've never been into the sports wagering, but I enjoy the feature Bad Beats.
Yeah.
With Scott Van Pelt.
Texas OU was one of those.
Yeah.
Boy, if you got that at 3.5, you were mad something fierce on Saturday.
So that I enjoy that and seeing how that goes because it takes into account things that I've never thought of, never considered. I mean, they're talking about total points in the half of an FCS game. Yeah, you're getting 3 in the hook and, all this stuff, and it's hilarious. But I know there are people that are dialed into that stuff.
What was the one the other night? Nevada, New Mexico State.
Yeah.
I think it was, Nevada by 28 is what it closed at. And, New Mexico State scores some garbage time touchdowns.
Yeah.
And it ends up being a 27-point win.
It always comes down to garbage time scores, doesn't it? It always seems to come down to that. And that's why I say, if you're into that deal, hey, God love you, but good luck to you, man, because that's a rough way to live.
Whenever they do that, they play that Brent Musburger clip where he says, that touchdown means a lot to some folks.
Yeah, where he goes, there are folks saying, what in the world is going on here? And then you hear the other one on the UCLA, a significant play to some.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
There's that one, a significant play to some. So it is that kind of thing. All right, speaking of significant, it's time for the notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
I like Joe number two on the text line, lead Snoop not into temptation and deliver him from FanDuel.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, Joe
like
number two
Snoop?
Trying
like
to help you out there.
Like a twist on it, Snoop?
Well, text it.
Dave Hunsiker kind of gave us a nice lead-in into what I wanted to talk about in this second edition of The Notebook, Craig, which is this transformation Oklahoma State's undergone under Mike Gundy. Like, remember, not that long ago, we thought of them, hey, kind of like Texas was in the Oklahoma game. That used to be every game for Oklahoma State. Hey, doesn't matter how fast you're scoring, score as many points as possible and just hope you turn somebody over and then it works at the end of the day. But I think Dave was onto something. We talked about this, Craig. When John Haycock unveiled that three safety look, three man front, dropping eight into coverage, unveiled it against Texas on a Thursday night in Ames.
Mm-hmm.
The fascinating thing about that defense, and I remember asking Iowa State players about this at Big 12 Media Days the following year, because it was Matt Campbell's second year at Iowa State. Nobody was following up on that story. And I became fascinated by it for two reasons. One, the fact that Todd Orlando basically admitted, and Tom Herman admitted, they basically copied that defense and created what Texas fans came to know as the Lightning Package. Basically, you just wanted as much speed on the field as possible. That's why you started to see more Breckin Hager. Malik Jefferson and Gary Johnson started playing together. You got Brandon Jones and Deshaun Elliott and P.J. Locke put all those guys on the field together, and Texas had one of the best defensive turnarounds. Keep in mind, 16 was one of the worst defensive teams. It was one of the worst defensive seasons in the history of this program, and Texas was one of the best defenses in the country the following year with that Lightning Package playing a big role. So it's fascinating. I wanted to ask the Iowa State guys about it from that standpoint, but the other one, when I was talking to them, I remember talking to Ray Lima, their defensive lineman, who was a really good player for them. He said basically they stumbled into that defense by accident. It was a sub package, and they started running it against Texas because they were worried that Texas, with their athleticism, was going to spread them out and try to spread them out, and they did. And John Haycock just decided, you know what, it's worked for a couple of drives. Let's just keep this sub package in, just keep running it. Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And then after the game, they decided, you know what, that works so well. Oh, just make it our base defense. It's three-man front, three high safeties, and play cloud coverage everywhere. And everybody in the Big 12, put, like I said, with Texas included, kind of put their own spin on it. And we've seen other programs nationally start to put their own spin on it. Brent Venables and that Clemson defensive staff went to visit the Iowa State staff. That's how impressed they were by what they were doing. So to Dave's point, Mike Gundy, who, again, as we, in terms of his time in the conference, is the dean of Big 12 coaches. He's seen the trends come and go and decided, you know what, might as well get ahead of this thing in terms of stylistically how they wanted to play. But before that, this goes back to an article in the Tulsa World, Craig, in 2015. And it talks about how a few years before that, Mike Gundy made the decision that he was going to start allocating 10% more scholarships on offense than defense. Basically amounted to three more defensive players you sign per recruiting cycle. And the main reason why he wanted to do it was for depth purposes. They were just running out of bodies at some point. So they decided to do it in the 2013 and 2014 recruiting classes. Oklahoma State signed more players on defense than offense. Those classes included major contributors. Now, if you follow Oklahoma State football and you follow Big 12 football, you remember some of these names. Jordan Stearns, Caden Stearns' brother.
Yep.
Vincent Taylor, I think still in the league. Ramon Richards, who was a really good player out of San Antonio, and Devontae Everett. So a lot of really good players they got by adding a couple of more scholarships, just valuing that side of the ball a little bit more. And again, the rationale was two-pronged. Gundy said he believes Oklahoma State can scheme more on offense than it can on defense. We talk about that all the time. Like, in the Mike Leach air raid kind of gave you a glimpse into this. And even that 2009 Texas offense. Now, if you got a really good quarterback and a really good scheme, you can mask a ton of deficiencies you have on offense. And it's hard to hide on defense. And that's where, when you watch Oklahoma in the college football playoff, that's where Oklahoma's been exposed. That's why now you see Oklahoma valuing more scholarships to defensive linemen. They realize, look, they got the horses their first four, but when you get into games with Georgia and LSU and Alabama, well, you better be two, maybe three deep of guys that can go on that defensive line, because your starters are going to get worn out, and eventually you're just going to lose that war of attrition. And the other prong of that process from Mike Gundy was Oklahoma State needed the numbers to keep up with Big 12 offenses. This is a quote from Glenn Spencer, the former defensive coordinator. Quote, you've got a lot of sub packages that you have to do to stop people these days, and you have different personnel groups to be successful with all the spread that you're facing. So basically, they started just looking for athletes on the back end. Like Dave said, it's similar to the Gary Patterson approach. Look, just give me guys that can run, have a little bit of athleticism and physicality. We'll figure out eventually where their bodies go. So you might recruit a guy, Craig, like a Malcolm Rodriguez, a high school quarterback, really good athlete, start him out as a safety, and you realize, you know what? In this league, he can function as a linebacker, and he's now one of the better linebackers in the Big 12. So it's this philosophical shift that's allowed Oklahoma State to be successful. And I just want to run down some of the numbers here real quick. If you look at Oklahoma State, really starting with 2017 is really when you start to see the change. If you look at them before that, their defensive S&P Plus, and I love S&P Plus, now SP Plus, Bill Connolly curates that at ESPN. It basically takes out a lot of the garbage time numbers. It's just basically a statistical, you're basically looking for a quantifiable number on who did you play and how good were you against them. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Oklahoma State, kind of the middle of the last decade, 2014 defensive SP plus 46th, 73rd in 2015, 51st in 2016. But when it starts to change is in the 2017 season, 35th in SP Plus defense, 35th in 2018. They did drop down to 58 in 2019, but they were 18th in the country in defensive SP Plus last year. So we've seen this change. It's paid off for them in terms of results on the field. But here's the other thing, and this kind of goes back to what leading to our conversation tomorrow. We'll be more Spencer Sanders heavy tomorrow in the notebook talking about turnovers. That's going to tell a really big tale in this game. When Oklahoma State's been really good on defense, Craig, they've really been able to turn people over. Their best seasons under Mike Gundy, 12-1 with the Big 12 title in 2011, they led the country in takeaways. They had 44 takeaways in 2011. 10 wins in 2013, they were fifth in the country, 33 takeaways. 2015, they won 10 games, 9th in the country, 28 takeaways. 24th with 25 takeaways the following season, another 10-win season. And then in 17, 29th in the country, 24 takeaways for Oklahoma State. They have not hit that high mark yet for being a top 30-ish defense in terms of takeaways. 114th. In 2018, they were 7-6, 48th in 2019. They fell back to 8-5, 42 last year nationally in takeaways with 16 during their 8-3 season. And this year so far, yes, the numbers look better. They're 8th in defensive SP+, they're 18th in the country in total defense, but they've only got 6 takeaways through the first 5 games. So not an elite defense in terms of taking the ball away. Texas, on the other hand, for all of Texas's flaws, Texas has done a really good job of turning people over, and they're about to face a quarterback who, as Dave Hunsiker just reiterated, Spencer Sanders is the very definition of high risk, high reward.
True.
And when he's good, you get a lot more of the reward and a lot less of the risk. When it's not good, like the Texas game last year, he can be the reason why you lose a game. So turnovers is something we'll talk about tomorrow. But when Oklahoma State's been really good under Gundy, they've turned you over. Not so much this year. They're just relying on just playing really good, sound defense. And it goes back to that philosophical change about 5-6 years ago.
It's our Longhorn Notebook for this hour. We've got a few final notes to get to when we come back here on Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital.
Music with the sure sound of a good time. Bud Light, the world's favorite light beer.
Light the Tower.
Before we get done here, I got a couple things to get to on the specs text line.
I think we're learning if you want Snoop Daniels' business, just have Rod Babers pitch your product.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I want a Bud Light right now.
Our man Bevo Lance Jason texted in on the specs text line, said, Snoop, only risk what you can afford to lose. My bookie will make you my Snoopy.
Oh, well.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not trying to go broke again.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Somebody asked, are lady fingers like Vienna fingers? No, they're different types of cookies. Those are. But similar, but not quite the same. Someone asking, if Texas beats Oklahoma State and then wins out, and Oklahoma State wins out after losing to Texas, you'd have a 3-way tie with Texas.
Oh, God,
Oklahoma,
can we please
State?
Not do Big 12 tiebreakers right now, please?
You forgot to respond.
It's not even Halloween yet. Can we at least get to November before we're doing tiebreakers?
Just answer the question.
I don't know. I don't even want to look at it, Craig.
If memory serves, if that's the only loss between all three of them,
they each beat each other,
right?
In other words,
and did not lose a conference game to anyone else. At that point,
I think you look at college football playoff rankings, eliminate the lower ranked team, and
yep.
then you go
then it's head to head. That's it. I just want to make sure. I knew the playoff rankings came into play. I just wanted to make sure. So there.
Well, no, actually, for the purpose of the Big 12 title game,
right.
You would eliminate the third team with the CFP rankings. The head to head would determine who's the home team.
That is correct.
The visiting team for the championship game.
So yeah, college football playoff rankings would go into effect on that. And somebody said Texas will get screwed again like in 2008. 2008. The thing that bothered me. It's really weird. The thing that bothered me most about 2008. The formula was bad. As we know,
right.
The Big 12 was the only Power 5 conference that followed that formula. Every other Power 5 league followed the formula where if you were within 5 spots or further than 5 spots beyond the other two tie teams, you were automatically eliminated and you went head-to-head, which Texas Tech was. And had they followed that, the Big 12, like the SEC and the ACC and the others, it would have gone back to head to head.
Every other league.
Yeah. And then Texas would have gotten the nod there from the Big 12 South had that happened. That bothered me. What bothered me more was the Big 12's response to it. Was Dan Beebe, you know, was like, huh? That is, you know, and he was like,
it's kind of weird how this league has had a run of commissioners where that's been the response to everything.
Yeah, I was kind of, yeah. You know, it was an,
I don't know.
Yeah, so.
It's like every husband when your wife is like, why didn't you check? I thought I was waiting on that package. Why didn't you check the mail today?
Somebody said, Craig seems to have a good relationship with the play-by-play guys for the opponents Texas plays each week.
Secret society.
It's not that secret, actually.
He's making sacrifices and whatnot.
Is there anyone you ever did not get along with or just not like?
Dave South.
Not true.
I know.
Not true.
I kid. I just.
Probably not something you'll admit over the radio. No, the answer is no, and the reason why it's no is we all kind of, we know what everybody goes through.
Yeah.
So we have respect for what we did. No, I got along with Dave South fine. In fact, we're both Dodger fans.
Well, then you guys see each other. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. No,
you were calling all three sports.
Yeah, I never did not get along with somebody or didn't like. Some of the ones you were closer to, obviously, than others, especially right. In the Big 12 where we all know each other. You know, we have a group text and all that stuff. We get together for dinner before the Big 12 basketball tournament. But no, I think we had too much respect for what everybody has to do in this business and how it can be. So the answer is no.
I can back you up on that. It goes the same thing for my industry.
Yeah.
There are very, very few people that I can say, yeah, I don't like that person.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that's going to do it for today's program. Tomorrow, Drew Sanders, head coach of the Vandegrift Vipers, joins us. They play tomorrow night. So
Coach Sanders on a game day.
How about that? We'll have that and a lot more tomorrow. Also, Greg Tepper, managing editor of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine. For Man Behind the Glass, Snoop Daniel. For my co-host, Jeff Howe, I'm Craig Way. Thanks for joining us. Shirts and Skins up next. We'll visit with you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock on the Horn.